ABC Radio Australia.
Well, voting is almost complete in Bougainville's historic referendum on possible independence from Papua New Guinea. And the focus this next week will be on ensuring that the region's small and extremely isolated communities also have the chance to cast their votes as well. More than 200,000 people have been enrolled to vote in this referendum. It came, of course, after a very long process towards peace, after as many as 20,000 people died in the civil war in the late 1980s. And 1990s. Now, the latest figures from the Bougainville Referendum Commission were out on Friday when it said that 99% of polling was completed. But the voting period will officially continue right up until Saturday, and a result is only expected in mid-December. Now, amongst those to vote were 15 Uepis. They're young men undertaking their coming-of-age initiations, and that involves spending an extended period in isolation in the bush where they've been learning traditional practices and they're not allowed to be seen by women. Referendum officials also visited people in hospitals and police cells to make sure they could vote, while Bougainvillians working on mine sites around PNG have also been able to have their say as to have people living overseas in Australia and Solomon Islands. Now, all or at least most of this has been closely watched on by several groups of observers from around the world, including from Australia. A team of 11 was sent by the Australian government and was led by the former MP Jane Prentice, and she joins me now on the line. Good morning to you, Jane.
Good morning, Catherine.
Well, stories like that of the Upes that we just heard there, officials having to take a boat and then walk for an hour still to be able to reach these young men undertaking this coming-of-age initiations, really demonstrate just how huge and complex this exercise is. Do you have a similar memory or a story that you've been observing over the past week?
Oh, so many. We're at one polling station where it was a woman who was a presiding officer, and she felt that most, it was the second day, she felt most people had voted. So she took it on her own initiative to go to a local hospital and found a village woman in labour and helped her vote while she was giving birth, which we thought was amazing. And also up on Booker Island, we were a fairly remote location, and the polling team there told us that when they finished in that village, they're going to the end of the road, they're going to hike in over the mountain with a ballot box on their back, sleep in the village, run the polling booth the next day, sleep there again, and then sort of come out again, and that was due on, they're going to be back in Booker on Saturday with the ballot box. So people went to incredible lengths. We had a lady who was the commanding officer for a prison, and she took her 40 prisoners down to the nearby polling booth so all the prisoners could have a vote. They really have gone out of their way. It's been quite inspiring.
Mm. And your role as a group of observers has been to make sure things are orderly, obviously not to intervene if you do see issues, but have there been any issues that you might want to flag?
No, not at all. It's been incredibly professional. I mean, always, even in Australia, you get, you know, the odd, you know, sort of inconsistency, but there's definitely a high level of professionalism. The polling teams have obviously been well trained, and they've taken so much pride in what they're doing. And the villagers themselves, it's been absolutely amazing that, you know, they've had sing-sings and prayers before they start polling in the morning. We had one where the polling officer took a Q&A. Anyone got any questions, she said. And someone in the audience or one of the villagers said, why are their ballot papers already in the ballot box, which is a pretty good question. And she explained that, well, they're a polling team and so they'd been somewhere else the day before and they'd brought it to this particular village. But incredibly open. And whilst we are supposed to be observers only, many of the teams sort of took time to come and talk to us and explain what the particular village was doing. It was absolutely wonderful to be part of it. It was, as someone said, quite a joyous occasion of celebration. It was wonderful ceremony. We had another village where they carried the chief and the main sort of leader of the community in on chairs to open it up. Another one where they had the young children carry the ballot box in because they said you're carrying your future in your hands for people to vote. So there's some really inspiring and wonderful opportunities.
Now you were...
Sorry, I just say it's everyone in the Australian team was so honoured to be part of it. It was great.
Very briefly, you're now back in Port Moresby. We understand that observers will be there for when counting begins on Saturday. I just wanted to point out that you actually have a close interest in the Pacific and Bougainville, because you in fact mentioned Bougainville in your maiden speech when you entered Parliament back in 2010. Did you ever think that you would be there for this historic vote?
No, so it is very special for me. My husband was involved in the peace arrangements and sort of the conflict resolution back then. So we had many of the sort of the key players and come and stay with us in Brisbane. And so I got to know the people of Bougainville and many of the key people very well. So for me, it was quite emotional, and met many of the people who I've obviously seen them over recent years, but it was to see them back in their own village, to meet them and be part of what they see as the next step in their future was incredibly special.